Lutheran Radio presents Cross Encounters with Pastor John Ehlers.
As we read the Gospel of St. John, the 18th chapter, verse 1, we see, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. This garden is the Garden of Gethsemane, located on the eastern slopes of the Kidron Valley, and in Jesus' day it would have been immediately opposite the temple. Now this garden still exists today, and there is a beautiful church situated in the garden, and it serves as a commemoration of what took place on the night Jesus was betrayed. If you remember, Jesus had just instituted the Lord's Supper, and at the conclusion of this most sacred of meals, he led his disciples down the Kidron Valley into the Garden of Gethsemane, where he goes off by himself to pray fervently and earnestly three times that God would remove this cup from him. But if it was the only way, then God's will was to be done. The cup Jesus was praying about was the cup of God's wrath. In the Old Testament, the cup was a common way of expressing God's displeasure with sin and its consequences, for its consequences often led his people away from him into idolatry, which is the worship of other gods. Because of their sin, God would cause his people to drink the cup of wrath in order to sober them up, in order that they might see the folly of their ways and once again return to the only true God. But isn't it interesting that the Bible informs us that sin originated in another garden? For it was in the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve were tempted by the serpent to doubt and disobey God's word. Satan urged them to rely on their own wisdom and reason and intellect instead of God's word. And in that garden, mankind fell and our race has been infected with original and actual sin ever since. This is the curse of sin, borne by humanity since that time. For since that time, the gates of the garden of unbroken fellowship and peace with God have been shut. And it was our sin that Jesus came to conquer. And it was in the Garden of Gethsemane he prayed that he would not have to drink the cup, the wrath of God against sin on our behalf. For Luke informs us that Jesus was troubled even to the very point of death, and that his sweat fell down in drops like blood. But even in the midst of his anxiety, even though Jesus knew the torture and the agony that awaited him on our account and because of our sin, he concluded his prayer each time by commending himself to following God's will and being obedient, even obedience to the cross. It was in the garden that Jesus resolved to take on the problem of human sin, which originated in that first garden. But just a few days later, we find ourselves once again in a different garden. For John informs us that Mary Magdalene, early on the following Sunday morning, went to the garden to visit Jesus' tomb, to anoint his dead body with spices. But something amazing had happened in that garden. The stone was rolled away. The grave clothes were still there, and two angels spoke with her. Then Jesus himself came to her and inquired whom she was seeking. Mary then spoke to Jesus, supposing him to be the gardener. Little did she know how right she was. Jesus, the second Adam, the perfect human, met her in the garden on this first day of the new creation, speaking her name, speaking forgiveness to her for her sins, giving her new life as he began ushering in the new creation and its order. In this garden, sin, death, and the devil have been defeated once for all by this resurrected Jesus, the second Adam, the gardener of the new creation. But this is not where our excursion around the gardens of the Bible ends. No, For when Christ Jesus returns in glory, he will bring into being the new heavens and the new earth, and we will once again see God's people living in a garden, a glorious garden, a garden where fellowship with God, other human beings, and nature itself is unbroken and perfect. It is a complete and total restoration of what was lost in the first garden because of our sin. The curse will be overturned, and the gates will never be closed. No suffering, no sorrow, no tears, no evil, no death. As we read in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 5, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, even though we disobeyed and doubted your word in the first garden, and have been infected with sin ever since, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, who in the Garden of Gethsemane resolved to take on the cross, who in the garden rose from the dead after defeating sin, death, and the devil, and who will establish new creation in a garden of complete fellowship with you, with all believers, and with the new creation forever. Grant us, Lord, the humility to confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and look with eager anticipation to life everlasting, which comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and remain with you always. Amen.
Love is in the air.
Christ is in the air.
Lutheran Radio UK.